Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McClennan, Jonas Siegel in here of The Athletic. Jay's going for a sweep tonight. Alec Manoah on the mound. And my understanding is of history of ticket sales when an ace is on the mound, it doesn't actually prove to be overly tangible in terms of how many more people are willing to go see Halliday play when he was in his prime or Clemens pitch when he was here in the late 90s.
Well, how could you plan, right?
Well, it's every fifth day. I mean, obviously you can't plan like months in advance, but walk-ups, you know, week of, I guess that's, and you're right. I mean, a lot of people buy tickets well in advance and you kind of circle a game and you're going to it and you don't know who's going to start.
But what if you had the week, like what if you had a week of and you go, I want to go to a game this weekend and you got a choice to see Manoah or Chicken Strips?
Oh,
it's clearly going to be Manoah.
Right.
Really
like,
be Manoah.
Hey, we can go Saturday or we can go Sunday. It's chicken. Same team that they're playing. You're excited to see it. And it's Manoah or it's Chicken Strips.
I think it's the opponent, too. Like, Hayes, I'm sure you've been offered tickets to Jays games and you're like, they're playing, I don't know, they're playing the Phillies back in the day. And you're like, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm good.
Yeah. That's
do you turn it down? Have you turned tickets down?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I've turned down tickets. I've turned down Leaf tickets. Like, I've turned down Raptors tickets. I mean, I'm not gloating about all these options. It's not like I've been offered season tickets. But there's been Leaf games, too, where it's like Tuesday night Columbus. You know, I think I'm good. I'll see you down the road. And the Jays are – it's probably even more applicable with the Jays because they play so much. You know, they play 81 home games.
Yeah, but so there's lots of opportunity.
Lots of opportunity, and a lot of it comes down to your own situation. Like I was saying yesterday, I'm bringing my wife and kids to the game on Saturday. We're, of course, going to the first game, 12:07 first pitch. I'm not taking them to the 6 o'clock game, right? I got a 6.5-year-old and a 3-year-old. We're not going to the late game. So whoever was on the mound for that game is whoever's going to be on the mound. I believe it turns out to be Kevin Gausman. I'm excited about that. But if it was Yusei Kikuchi, then I guess we're showing up and we're saying Kikuchi, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
Right.
But Manoah, I think, should have that type of effect on walk-ups, and especially considering the opponent, Sox, opportunity at a sweep, and Alec Manoah on the mound. Like, it's a trifecta of, I got to get down there and check out this game tonight. It should be, but I'm not sure that will actually be the case in terms of walk-up tickets.
But he is a beast, and as he continues to, you know, grow, like gets a couple years under his belt, he might be the ace that you have to see. He might be the Clemens type of player.
He's like, moving that direction. You know, like we had that bet, Owen and I had that bet about will he win a Cy Young, and I just didn't see it being possible earlier in the year, and it's still a long way to go. You know, he's only halfway through the year, not even. He's got to continue this. And there's going to be other big arms and big names that are chasing him down. But right now, he would certainly be a top three Cy Young candidate in the American League, and he very well could win it. And if he won it, he'd have a absolutely understandable case to make. You know, leading starting pitchers in the American League in wins above replacement. Only one starter with a better ERA. A guy that throws a lot of innings. A guy that throws a lot of strikes. He's a beast.
He's
a beast, and he's exactly who you want on the mound tonight with a chance to sweep. And Alejandro Kirk behind the plate.
Wow, that's
the best battery going.
That's
the best battery going in terms of popularity. Manoah throwing to Kirk. That's what you want.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to see. I mean, I think people are very excited to see if Kirk can just keep this going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, he's going to the All-Star game because he deserves to. He is the best hitting catcher in baseball right now, and certainly in the American League. He has a higher OPS than anyone on the Jays. That includes Vladdy, Bichette, Springer, Teoscar Hernandez. Like, this is an offense that is loaded and was projected to be top three in baseball. And Kirk is lapping the field in on base percentage and slugging percentage and OPS. And we had Will Middlebrooks point this out earlier, and it's a great point. In 2022, how many guys walk more than they strike out? Especially guys who swing for the fences the way he can and does.
Yeah.
Like, his plate discipline is off the charts. So he's going there because he deserves to. There's also the push because of who he is and the novelty of being a little guy who's come out of nowhere and he hits the way he hits. But he's a beast. And he's back in the lineup tonight, catching, obviously, for Alec Manoah. So we'll keep teeing that up a little bit later on this afternoon. There's a lot going on in the NBA. which we are tracking. A ton of players are opting in, opting out. There's going to be so much movement. What's that?
Big trade.
Is there a big trade? How
did
I miss
the
big trade? No.
You didn't see the DeJounte Murray trade?
I have not seen that this hour.
Crazy.
Where is he going?
He is going to Atlanta, and Atlanta gave up 3 unprotected first-round picks.
Wow.
Wow.
Which is like, Atlanta's like on the fence of being good and maybe not good.
They got Trey there. They got to make him happy, right?
It's like
Trey Young's got to be happy.
And the picks are like way down the line. Like,
that's the nature of the NBA trades, though, right? It's always protected. It's like protected so long until it either disappears or the protection disappears.
These are unprotected.
Wow.
No protection, which is just like mind-blowing.
Yeah, like the Spurs are in a weird place.
Very weird.
They're not any good is a problem.
No, and he's their best player, and he's 25.
Yeah, like that is – I'm looking this up now. I just saw this actually now that you mentioned it, the Bleacher Report tweeting out. Since Tim Duncan retired in 2016, the Spurs have traded Kawhi, Ginobili retired, lost Tony Parker in free agency, cut LaMarcus Aldridge, traded DeRozan, and now traded Murray.
And they traded Derek White, who's like not the great player, but good player.
I guess it's just a complete bottoming out. Like, yeah. Really, that's kind of the nature of the NBA, is it punishes the middle ground. You're either a team that is loaded with superstars and is going for it and has the capability of pushing for a championship, or you have to be competing to be the worst team ever put together,
yeah,
who have 40 picks over the next 5 drafts, and you're going to win 12 games a year for like 3 or 4 years.
Look at Houston. Like, Houston trades James Harden. Mm-hmm. They get Jalen Green, and then they get a top 3 pick this year. They get Jabari, and suddenly it's like, yeah. They might be good pretty soon.
Maybe, but same thing with Oklahoma City. They've loaded up on all these kids, but they got to grow. You know, like, that's the thing about the NBA is it is a veterans league.
Yeah, it is.
It always has been, man. Kids, it doesn't matter how talented you are, you can't win with kids.
Well, you need to have, like, stud of studs. Like, with, top 10 player.
With vets.
With grizzled vets.
With grizzled vets. You know, like, it even then it's tough, man. Like, look at LeBron at Cleveland. They got to an NBA final. They got swept. They got punted. Like, San Antonio dismantled them. When D-Wade did what he did, he had Shaq with him, you know, among other bets.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw it. When the stuff with Kyrie was happening, and there was some thought that maybe Kevin Durant would get traded if Kyrie didn't come back, and there was, like, this chatter in, like, the NBA, if you were the Raptors, like, would you trade Scottie Barnes to get Kevin Durant? And it's like...
Would you, Jonas?
It would have been more than that. Scotty and Fred VanVleet.
I would,
and picks.
No. Well, if you're doing that, then there's no point.
Well, you still have Siakam, Ananobi, KD. Because he's up here, you'd find a bunch of guys who you could get, you know, to fill out your roster.
Yes, I would do it.
Yeah.
You'd have to trade Barnes, like, and a Barnes in a package for KD.
I don't know that I'd give up much more. He's going to be, like, awesome. He is awesome.
He is, but he's young. He's even Scottie Barnes. There's an example. Like, I expect more growth next year, but he's probably 3 or 4 years away from reaching his, like, apex in the NBA.
Yeah,
right.
Know? And so you gotta wait for that, and everything's gotta connect and hit at the right time. Yeah. So yeah, that's interesting, man. The Spurs are just completely bottoming out, and Atlanta clearly is. The thing is, draft picks are not worth what they are, I don't think, in any other league. The NBA draft is such a crapshoot. Every team just gives away picks, you know. Like, and if you ever want to recoup picks, you just trade whoever your best player is, and you can bring 2 or 3 picks back.
I think they have more value in the NBA than they do in the NHL.
I
because
do,
if you get a top 5 pick in the NBA, you might get, like, a star.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what you need if you want to do anything.
True, but I think beyond the top 5, maybe 7, usually the NBA is very top-heavy, generally speaking, in drafts.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, of course, you find guys later in rounds, of course. There are great players that go in the second round, as we know. But generally, it is, if you don't have, like, a top 5 or 7 pick, it's like, what's the difference between the guy that goes 12th and the guy that goes 25th?
Right.
You know, it seems like the value is... There's more parity there. But, yeah, there'll be a lot more of this. You know, the NBA is just getting going.
Moving and shaking, for sure.
Lots of moving and shaking. All right, you guys ready to fire up some role play level of concern?
Yes, let's do it.
You can never never ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I do. I really do.
All right, so role play level of concern. We all know the way that this works. The three of us will go around the table. Someone, we will be playing the role of someone, something, some scenario. And then based on that and the situation applied to that, we have to hand out a level of concern. So if you have no concern whatsoever, it's a pint on the patio. Mediocre concern, you know, it's a six-pack and maybe a shot or two. And if you have a lot, explosive concern, it's Nick Cage and Leaving Las Vegas. All right? Jonas, you know the way this works. Mm-hmm. Noodles, I don't need to talk down to you. You're very aware of this. All right, let's get started here. Jonas, you can have the
Jonas,
the leadoff role here. You are playing the role of Serena Williams.
I am.
Serena Williams, what is your level of concern that your ability to win matches at Grand Slams has officially come to an end?
I am full on Nick Cage.
You can never... never ask me to stop drinking.
I did some research. Okay. She hasn't won a Grand Slam since 2017. Now, I believe she's been in four finals and hasn't won, but...
including Bianca.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it's over.
She's 40 years old now. Yeah. Like, that's the number that really counts. She's had a lot of injury problems, but she's 40. Playing any sport at 40 is almost impossible. Like, it's very difficult to do, let alone an individual sport where you can't rely on teammates and you can't have any days off. And a name of that stature. She's the best of the best. Everyone wants to take her down. She'll never get a free pass. I think she'll play in New York. I think she'll be at the U.S. Open. But I wouldn't be surprised if she retired at the U.S. Open. And I don't expect her to win any rounds. Maybe she has a Jimmy Connors moment, like wins a couple of rounds and the buzz in New York. Like, that's possible. But matches like into the, you know, 16, into the quarterfinals, semis, that's over for Serena.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Jonas. High level of concern.
Yes, very high.
All right, Noodles. You're playing the role of Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Maple Leafs. What is your level of concern? Your goaltending will not be a position of strength at the start of next season.
I mean, it's easier to just say play it, but it's not. It's a 12-pack and four shots of Jager.
Where's that, Nick Cage in Nashville? Maybe it's not Vegas, but man, well, it's tough.
I mean,
okay.
it
not
is.
Quite.
Here's why. Unless
Leaving
you're acquiring.
Nashville.
Yeah, at least I don't. It's always going to be a position of weakness based on the way your team's structured, right? Like, so your forwards are your bread and butter. Your D is stable, and you have basically your core put together. So your goaltending, unless you do something, you move one of those pieces up front or a young player and all that, like, you have to maybe, I wouldn't say sell the farm, but unless you're going after a Gibson or somebody, a clear-cut number one that we don't see is available, that is going to be your concern moving forward. So that's why I was that high on it. It's just the way the team is built. That it's not got anything to do with Kyle not trying. It's more about executing on. He's going to have two stable goaltenders and play the tandem situation by the way it looks right now.
Yes, I agree with you. I mean, a position.
Maybe 12 beer and then four shots was a bit aggressive. Maybe six
I think
beer
it's a six
and
pack.
Four. Six pack and a couple shots then.
Yeah, I think it's high. A position of strength. Like that wording.
That's
like
what
a
I
position
meant.
Of strength is Vasilevsky, Hellebuck,
Calgary.
Marstrom. You know, like that. That's a position of strength. The idea of the Leafs, if he can find a way, Dubas, to make it a position of strength by Labor Day, I think that is a brilliant job. I think he'll deserve a ton of credit.
Yeah.
Because based on the market that we're aware of right now, based on how many teams are in on goaltending, it seems difficult to see. Like, let's say they brought back the exact same tandem, Campbell and Mrazek. That's not a position of strength. It's not a position of weakness, but it's somewhere in the middle ground.
It's just a position.
Right.
It's a position. It's you're okay. You're fine with it. You're not losing sleep, but you're also not
it would
in
still
Vegas
be the
having
question
a great time.
Mark on the team. it would still be the question mark on the team, even though Jack Campbell played in the All-Star game, even though Freddie Anderson the year before played in the All-Star game. Like, it's still a question mark until it's not.
I mean, you could always trade for someone in season, I mean.
In season, so like basically what Minnie did last year, but how'd that work out? They didn't even get out of the first round.
No, that's true.
You know, you go and get Fleury, and Fleury, yeah, you know, Vegas did that with Robin Leonard, and it caused a stir.
But then, like, Carolina doesn't have Anderson, and Ronta just plays okay, and they're fine. Right?
They didn't. Yeah.
I don't know.
Didn't.
Mike Smith.
But they didn't make it to where they wanted to go. You know, that's the thing. Like, everyone says, like, oh, you can do it like the Colorado model. Okay, well, where's Makar for every team in that model? You can't just go, well, we're going to do it, you know. Work for Colorado's got to work for us.
Wasn't just some guy. Like, Kemper's been good, like you pointed out before.
Exactly. Like, he's been really, really stable if you actually look at, mm-hmm. Dig a little bit deeper into the player.
Okay. Well, listen, right. We know that's going to be a topic of discussion for sure. A little six-pack, a few shots. I like it.
Yeah,
all right.
Six-pack, yeah.
I'm shifting over here to another GM in Toronto. I am playing the role of Ross Atkins, the GM of the Blue Jays. What is my level of concern? That the pitching staff, as it's currently constructed, starters and bullpen, is not good enough to compete for a World Series. Play it.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Absolutely good enough to be a playoff team, which they are, and I believe they will continue to be. Maybe good enough to get out of the, wild card round into the ALDS and beyond. But championship? I don't see it out of the way they're currently constructed. This bullpen it's patchwork right now. It's concerning. Charlie Montoya doesn't have a lot of faith in it. Romano, something's up with him, especially, again, his splits on the road. Phelps is a guy that you have some faith in. Meza, I don't know. Garcia, when he comes back off the IL, I don't know. Simber, Trent Thornton's a guy you cannot have pitching in big moments in the playoffs. You just can't. Like, I think they need multiple arms. Sergio Romo they're bringing in. That's how desperate they are. Romo has... His numbers have not been very good for quite some time. Quite some time. Those, mm-hmm. like, the heyday in San Fran, it's been a while. Seattle basically just said, pack your bags, you got to go. They're taking a flyer on him. Like, they're taking a flyer. They're hoping he finds some stuff, but the likelihood of that happening, I think, is slim. I think it's worthy of a shot. It's not going to cost you anything, but I'm not banking on it. I think they need multiple arms in the bullpen. You know, we talked about this earlier today. You get into the playoffs, you're looking out. You're looking for anywhere between like 9 and 15 outs from your bullpen every game. Every game for weeks, for round after round after round. You have to have four or five arms in the bullpen that you really trust and like at least two or three that you love that you can put in any situation and know they can get you outs. I don't see that with the way the bullpen's currently constructed. And the rotation is what it is. Kikuchi's an issue right now. Barrios is an issue. Stripling's been really good. Really good. Can he give you 15 more starts like that? I don't know. I mean, I'll believe it when I see it, and I would think Atkins is thinking the same thing.
But Hayes, maybe he's like your long guy in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe you just trade for a couple. Like, can't you just trade for those guys?
Yeah, and I think that's where I think the rotation they can put together to get there. Like, I'm not concerned with that. I think they look at it. Manoah, Gausman, if Barrios figures it out, you got a great 1-2-3 in the playoffs. You're okay there. I think that's got to be what you're projecting. You've paid these guys to do it. You've committed to them. The bullpen, though. You got to have. You can't just have Phelps and Romano as guys you're putting out there. Maybe Meza. You need more. You need, I think, at least two arms, power arms, guys who can get you outs.
Right.
So they don't have that right now. Nope. All right, Jonas, you're playing the role of Mike Trout. Mike Trout. What is your level of concern that playing your whole career with the Angels will diminish your legacy?
0.0. I am on the patio enjoying a nice Corona.
Wow.
I'm good. Wow. I'm the GOAT.
Nothing.
I'm already the GOAT.
Really?
Yeah.
You played one playoff. I think you have one career playoff hit.
Is it my fault, the teams they put out around me?
No. But we're talking legacy.
He's talking about legacy.
But no one's – I honestly – I don't think baseball players are judged in the same way as, like, NBA players.
No, I'll agree with you.
They're not judged on championships, right? Like, we're just going to say he was the best player for, what, 15 years, 20 years?
He's arguably one of the best players who've ever played.
He might be the best player who's ever played. Maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
But what Hayes is saying, the fact that you played in Anaheim and, never.
Well, do you think, like, that'll be the first? Where will that be on, like, in the Hall of Plaques, right, Hayes?
A hall with some blocks.
Where
in it,
will
yeah.
that sentence be? Like, never played it, or played one playoff game. Well, is it like the fifth sentence?
Yeah, I think it's in there.
It's in there somewhere.
Or the fact that it's not there. There's no playoff part of the inscription on the plaque.
Yeah.
Will, I think, scream at you. Like,
but
again, not
smart,
his fault.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Not his fault. He can't.
No.
It's one guy. He gets like four or five at bats a game. You know, the rest of it is on whoever his teammates are. He's never had a rotation. He's never had a bullpen. You know, that's on ownership and management. That's not his fault. But legacies are made or improved in the playoffs. Like, they, with every sport, you got to have some moment where you brought something to the table. And if it's just not available to you, then I do think that's going to hurt the legacy or hold it back a little bit. Not extensively. But also, we're in an era where players have more power than ever before. He could leave whenever he wants. He chooses not to.
Maybe he just likes living in Southern California and
which
making
he's entitled
$300 million.
He's entitled to. But yeah. He would have got that somewhere else, too, Jonas.
But he would have gotten to live there. But yeah.
He can't live there. And listen, Southern California, I can't argue against it. And but if you have any drive to win in the playoffs, clearly the Angels are not your team. Clearly. They got him and Ohtani, and they're 12.5 back of Houston, and it's June.
Yeah, it's
they're
not
a mess.
Good. Not
they're
the
a mess.
Best.
It's not good. Noodles, you are playing the role of hockey fans who are fans of offer sheets. What is your level of concern? You will not see one this summer.
I would say play it, but I just
don't play it.
Oh, Mullen, well, he didn't play it. I like
was
it.
Waiting for,
on.
I was
he knows
waiting
what's
for
up.
To play
Are you playing it or not? You got to be more definitive. Are you playing it or not?
I think there might be one this summer.
Yeah.
I really do. I think there's going to be one. I think teams have to be aggressive and use the CBA. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's a 12-pack because I think fans are concerned that they're just so obsolete. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's going to be one this summer. I do. So, Jonas, I think you agree with me.
Can I give you some candidates? I'm just trying to make sure.
I read an article. What was it? Might have been yours, Jonas.
No,
or
it wasn't
it was
me.
Somebody from The Athletic, I think, was talking about Neshkash in Carolina.
That's a good
as
one.
A potential target and guys like that. So I'm a 12-pack, but I want to be level of concern Nick Cage because I want to see offer sheets. I want to see. I lean more towards you now, Hayes, as far as I want trades. I want water cooler.
Chaos.
I want there to be.
Embrace it, Noodles.
Like, this is why I get frustrated here in Toronto. It's like, you know, the teams that have won rounds and doing things that are like, yeah, coach is fired, trading this guy, do it. Like, you're trying to. And here it's like, yeah, we're you know, bringing back the band again. Mm-hmm. Let's see, go at it for a seventh.
Well,
year.
That's an interesting hypothetical. There's no one that's available that I'm aware of that would be worthy of an offer sheet. But if there was,
wait. You don't think
there
so?
There is. Jonas, he's got his list.
I'll just put out a few guys.
Go ahead.
Brock Besser?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Patrick Laine?
No.
Pierre-Luc Dubois?
Yeah, I think there is.
Maybe. I mean,
Matthew Tkachuk?
Yes. But, like, again, it's going to cost you a fortune on that, like multiple first-round picks.
Andrew Mangiapane?
That one's interesting.
It's a one-off.
And that just was in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Not even a minute.
Like, those are all players that I like. I don't know if I want to pay. Because once you get to a threshold of payment, like in terms of the dollar that you offer, you got to hand over 4 first-round picks, I believe.
Depending on the financial. But here's the thing, like, Dubois, the number one centerman, is 23 years old.
Yep.
Like,
4
that
first
one
round
is
picks.
But Hayes, like, I think we think of like it's going to be 4 top 5 picks.
But
like,
what
it's
if it's
not.
4 Freddie the Goats?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. What if your team is actually now you're talking mid 20s? Like, yeah, maybe those guys will hit, but everyone always regurgitates, well, you know, Corey Perry went there, who, you know, mm-hmm. There's guys that went late in the first round. And there's plenty of second and third rounders that are stars in the league. I'm just saying, like, you have money in hand. Like, you are looking at a number one centerman who I think there's more there with Dubois. I actually do.
Well, I agree with you. So let's say I'm just pulled up Montreal as an example. First round picks. Let's say they were the team to do it, right? Because why not?
Yeah.
Their first round picks, 2012, Galchenyuk. 2013, Michael McCarron. 2014, Nikita Sherbak. and 2015 Noah Juulsen.
Right.
So like that's basically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you would get
but
a player.
Here's where I would counter there. Here's the thing, Jonas.
You gotta have to have better drafting.
Yes, A, yes. You need better draft. It is putting an emphasis on that. But what if they signed someone to an offer sheet 2 years ago and now it's the first overall pick?
Yeah, but
two years
you
ago,
have Pierre-Luc Dubois, you're like, all right, well,
okay.
Look at the first round. Look at the first overall pick this year. It's not even like a slam dunk who it is.
No, it's not. But next year, I believe it is.
Right.
And do you want to be the guy who went for the offer sheet for Patrick Laine and instead you handed, you know, Bedard over to someone and Laine scoring 24 goals and
I guess it depends
games?
How good your team is, right? If your team's going to be good, you don't really.
Yeah, it's a gamble. I like it for certain players. Like it is a big price. Like that is a part of it. It's not only the gentleman's agreement. You don't screw me over, I won't screw you over. It's like if it's Kachuk is going to ask for what in order to get him to sign the deal. It's going to be the four picks going the other way, right?
Yeah.
Like in Dubois, I think the same thing. I think the same thing likely for Laine. Like I don't know what the threshold is. The number changes every year based on where the cap is, but it's not crazy high. Like
no, that's
you know,
why. I mean, you saw the. The kid in Carol,
Kotkaniemi, and it was a first and second or third or something. I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was low because it was below that threshold. Like it just but he's an overpay, and they still ended up, you know, I think working it out or have agreed to it. Like just for me, I would love to see it, and I think if a team, if you feel like, hey, we just haven't been able to draft and develop a first rounder, but we have some good wingers. We have some, you know, we need a first-line centerman. Like, that's a guy who is...
Yes.
Dubois from that list, Jonas, that you threw out, is very interesting for me because I think his projection is still going up where Matthew Tkachuk arrived. 100-point guy. We love him. He's a disturber. He's hard to play against. He's a character guy. He's captain material. He would be interesting, but he plays the wing, right? You'd have to have a good player to play with.
Well, where I was going with the idea of not knowing the market is if there was an RFA goalie and whether or not that would be worthy of an offer sheet. You know, is there anyone out there that's of RFA status? And I don't have the information.
Like a Carter Hart. Like what if a good – like what if a goalie with who projects to be – you know, Carter Hart, I know the jury's out on him.
Samsonov, but like he didn't have a great year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not like Samsonov and Vanacek. Like Washington's looking for an upgrade. Like, you know, Sorokin is the one that in New York that they extended, and that's why Varlamov is expendable because Sorokin's a legit top tier goaltender. But I'm talking somebody that maybe wouldn't cost you as much. And still has room to grow. Carter Hart needs a change of scenery if Philadelphia doesn't get their act together. Now, maybe Torts gets the defensive act together and really helps shield the goaltender. But that's somebody that you wouldn't have to pay four first-rounders for.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's if you're looking into the future.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it could be worthy of it. Yeah, I mean, it's just – it's the great undetermined, where the picks are going to be, who they turn into.
But it comes back to, I would love that.
I would love it too. I'm a big supporter of offer sheets and play by the rules, go for it. And maybe Carolina, they opened the door to that, right? Or maybe Montreal opened the door to it, really.
Right.
You know, they were the ones that tried to get Aho and then it turned into Kotkaniemi, and now maybe we're dealing with the Wild West.
Exactly.
And teams are willing to do it. All right, we'll come back with some more role play level of concern. Jays in action tonight. Lots of action in the NBA. Again, we're continuing to track that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. Alec Manoah on the mound for the Jays looking to sweep the Sox after Vladdy walked them off in the ninth last night. And that's the battery of popularity, right? Manoah pitching to Kirk tonight. That's what you're looking for. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the hour. But the NBA is wasting no time. They have decided that it is a season of bedlam. It always happens. Whenever the NBA championship comes to an end, you can count on craziness happening throughout the league. And to chat about it, here is Izzy Gutierrez of ESPN. How you doing, Izzy?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. This DeJounte Murray trade, we just talked about it about 10 minutes ago. What's more of a compelling angle for you, where the Spurs are going with this in their roster or what Atlanta paid to get him and teaming up with Trae Young?
I guess compelling, it just depends. The basketball compelling part is more Atlanta, and that's, you know, what do you do with that backcourt? You know, what is the potential there? Can Trey, I mean, what, they were both, what, I think top five in assists. Can they sort of coexist as sort of ball handlers? Does Trey just become more of the scoring threat? I think that ends up probably being the case since, you know, he's just so quick and explosive off the dribble and can, you know, if the entire offense is not, I'm sorry, if the entire defense is not focused on him at all times as the primary ball handler, then maybe he can, you know, sort of sneak away for some cheap ones here and there. So that part's interesting. The Spurs side of it, it's always curious to wonder what they're doing, because obviously they know they're not contending here. They're looking, they're getting picks, unprotected picks down the road. A team like Atlanta, which is, you know, never consistently good, right? They're always going to be a year or two away from the lottery, perhaps. And if they get unprotected picks from that franchise, maybe they could build something significant that way. But it also makes me wonder, like, are they just doing DeJounte a favor by not wasting sort of his prime on a team that wasn't going to go anywhere? You know, you might as well. And so whether that means they think he has a ceiling and this is as good as he's going to get and, you know, they can't win anything with him right now, or, you know, they're just literally doing him a favor. I don't think that's the case, but either way, it's intriguing from different angles on each side.
Well, Izzy, were you surprised that they would, Atlanta, give up unprotected picks that far into the future? Like, they're still not, like, I don't look at them and think championship, and you think that far down the line, like, they might, who knows what will happen by that point.
Right, but I look at them and I think desperate. You know, I think small market-ish. You know, I think they are, you know, openly speaking about not making the same mistake that they did last year, where they kind of complacent when it came to roster building and stuff. They kind of essentially ran it back. And so I think they had to find a way to get in on somebody. And you can talk yourself into Murray being an all-star, even though it's technically an all-star replacement, I believe. Then that's your combination of players. That's where you're going. But you're right. It's not championship level, I don't think. And, you know, I don't know if they have the right scheme, the right defense. So there's a lot still to figure out, but they have to try to get their foot in the door somehow.
With Izzy Gutierrez of ESPN, Kyrie opts back in with Brooklyn. If Ben Simmons decides to play and performs, are they a championship team for you? Can they actually do it next year?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of ifs. One, the Ben Simmons one, obviously, and I think the other one is, you know, is Kyrie Irving, has he sort of jumped the shark in his own mind? And this is what I mean by that. Is he a guy who can still settle down or settle in, sort of make it a, you know, bet on myself year and have a great season, play 70 games, you know, if his body holds up, have a 30-point-per-game season and 8-assist-per-game season and just absolutely be the person, the player, rather, that the Nets should have been given, you know, an extension to and sort of prove that whole thing. If he is in that mindset, if he's still capable of that and doesn't get caught up in the whole, you know, I'm Kyrie Irving, I'm bigger than the game, I'm bigger than the media, I'm going to, you know, manipulate however I want to, then it'll probably be a lost season and they won't be, you know, even close to competing. They'll just go as far as Kevin Durant can take them and their, you know, offensive talent can take them, but it won't be a championship. But if he is in that frame of mind and, you know, they build the roster around him with that in mind, then I think they're contenders, yeah.
Well, how good do you think he still is? Because he's only won, obviously, with LeBron. And I think kind of him and James Harden in the same ballpark. Like, are we thinking of them as what they used to be and not what they are?
Well, I think he is still, I mean, he's 30. So I still think he is in his prime. I still think he can give you 30 a game. I just don't know if he was ever the type to really take care of his body the same way, you know, the LeBrons do. To make sure that they're healthy, because he's, you know, he's gone down with some injuries, and, you know, who's to say that some of those knee issues won't, you know, crop back up again if he is playing, you know, back-to-backs and 4 games in 5 nights and everything else. That's the part that I don't think you can ever say he was that reliable. And so I just don't know if that can happen. And if he doesn't take care of his body the way some of these superstars do, then it's going to break down at some point because it's just a lot.
I want to follow up on that with how crazy things are in Brooklyn. Is there any marker or, I mean, thought process to how good of a coach Steve Nash is? Because it just seems like it's been a little bit very unique. What do you think about that?
Well, there's definitely a lot of, or there's been, let's just say, a lot of discussion about Steve Nash and whether he can coach. I mean, toward the end of last year, just people associated with the Nets are just, that I know, not very high on Steve. Then again, if you look at the way he was considered when he was brought in, I mean, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving said, I don't even think of him as a coach. He thinks of him as more of a, you know, sort of a collaborative thing. So if you're going to think that way, then you can't put that much blame on any individual. But I'm going to go ahead and just assume that it was a little bit too much too soon for any star player or whatever, ex-player, to be able to handle that, you know, type of team with these types of personalities and still figure out, you know, what your coaching philosophy is, how you're going to get your message across, what you're going to run, et cetera, et cetera. And then when your warts show, then you look really bad. And so I think he can get better. I think there's still question marks about his ability, but I think it was probably a mistake for the Nets to do that, because it's just, it's not just that he might not be the guy, but if you want to, you know, bring the best out of your players, maximize that talent. Yeah, that still counts when it's these guys, and it still counts when it's a bunch of role players around them. And I don't know if Steve Nash, you know, as an experienced coach, was really the guy to do that.
With Izzy Gutierrez. On the other coast, you got Westbrook opting in. And if you're the Lakers, you're going to come back with LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Westbrook as your big three. Who do you believe has more pressure on them to be a Superman type next year? Is it LeBron or Anthony Davis?
I think it's Anthony Davis. You know, for all the obvious reasons in terms of his lack of availability when it really mattered, you know, say what people will about that bubble season, his numbers were a little bit, you know, skewed in terms of his shooting numbers, so they'll always question whether, you know, he benefited from playing there. And, you know, frankly, he's just, his reputation has been damaged the most, you know, with this probably fall for the Lakers, which is saying a lot, because I think Westbrook's, you know, obviously been taking a lot of blame for not being the right fit, but reputation, like, he's always been that guy. But Anthony Davis, I think, you know, a lot of people are questioning if, you know, toughness, whether, you know, he's committed, whether championship thing was a fluke. I think he's got more questions to answer than LeBron, and certainly than Westbrook.
Always great catching up with you, Izzy. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
No problem. My pleasure.
Izzy Gutierrez of ESPN. I agree with that. I think Anthony Davis, he's got a reputation of being a guy capable of being a top five player in the league. Got the max deal. He had the bubble playoff run where he was absolutely outstanding. But outside of that, he's been very unreliable. He's hurt all the time. Seems like he's out of shape, street clothes. Like, LeBron's done it. LeBron's done it all, and LeBron's not a kid. Like, LeBron, you can't expect LeBron. He's not going to play anywhere. I don't think he'll play more than 65 games.
Do you think he'll be a Laker after next year?
LeBron?
Yeah, I believe his contract is up after next year.
He's going to play with his son eventually, isn't he? That's
a little ways away.
His son's
got
to make it, though, right? Like, his son's not guaranteed to play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be – it depends on what his priorities
are. The son will play in Vegas when LeBron gets
when he LeBron owns the team.
Owns the team in Vegas. Yep.
Owner, player, coach. Right.
Yep, exactly. That's what he's going to do.
You could be right. You could be right. Anyway. All right, we'll come back with our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Tee up the Jays game again. Maybe slide in a little role play after dark. We'll see
and
where
Jimmy
we're at.
Jimmy Edmonds. We need one more Jimmy Edmonds.
And one
Edmonds.
More Jim. Okay, that's it. That's what we're doing. We're playing the Jim Edmonds and then the follow-up Jim Edmonds.
Yeah.
Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, so we referenced Jim Edmonds, great St. Louis Cardinal, one of the great defensive center fielders of all time. And he's been doing analysis work as a color guy for the Cardinals. And he started talking last night in a fashion that no broadcaster should ever find themselves in, because ultimately you're going to get thrown under the bus or sewered, or you are sewering your counterpart because that person has no idea what the hell you're talking about. Okay, so they were talking about Pujols and being a DH and having to wait for your next time up in the order. this is the back and forth, and we have two parts here. This is the first part and how Jim Edmonds danced himself into a tough spot last night.
I would imagine as a DH, that's the frustrating part. Kind of like a pitcher, you got to wait. You have a bad start. You know, it's 5 days you're going to be back out there. And then as a DH, you get that one pitch, hit it off the end of the bat, now you got to wait. That's no fun.
That's like, you know, when you, you know, you read things for so long and you just throw out, like, the name of our old TV station versus our new one. Or, you know, stuff like that just kind of flies out. You just don't even realize it.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No
such
idea.
Such a sewer job.
I got to tell you, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like, doesn't have to do that, clearly.
No.
Could have just let it go and just, you know, picked up on whatever the pitch count was or whatever. But yeah, it was a genuine reaction. Like, I don't know what the hell Edmonds was talking about. And the audience probably did not.
I think he was saying, I'm used to saying Air Canada Center and it's Scotiabank now. Like,
right.
I think that's where he was going.
But it had no reference point to the conversation about a DH having to wait.
But don't you think it's possible, you know, sometimes, like, you guys do this every day. Like, maybe you're not listening for, like, 10 seconds, you're looking something up, and then the person asks you a question, and you're like, you just say something. It has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, I got
to
tell you, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Loud noises.
Do you think there's a chance Edmonds wasn't paying attention to the whole Pujols thing?
That would be like my guess.
Yeah, that could possibly be it.
Might have been on his phone or something, looking at his phone, not paying attention. You know?
Why don't we pick up on it here? Because the play-by-play guy does try to help him out a little bit as this continues.
No, I was saying, like, you know, sometimes I'll start to talk and forget where we're at with the Bally's and Fox and Fox Sports Midwest, Fox Sports, Bally's Live Midwest. I mean, sometimes it just kind of comes out wrong. It's just like the spinning ball. You never know where it's going to go.
The base hit out to left off the bat of Brendan Donovan. So you're saying you can just look right across the street and you got Bally Sports Live as a quick reminder.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with you.
Dynamite drop in money. That broadcast school has really paid off.
He still has no
idea.
Even
that's kind of condescending, right? Like, even that, because Edmonds really is floating there, man. Like, there's not a lot of conviction.
It doesn't make any sense.
It really makes no sense.
But Noodles, you must do like some games when you're like right by the benches and like, I don't know. There's got to be a time where you say something. And you're like, I shouldn't have said that. That doesn't make sense.
Well, 100, like for sure, because the producer's talking to you in your ear and trying to, you know, maybe tee something up. The play-by-play guy, if Gord throws down to me, and if he's trying to talk to me, asking something like, "What do you think of that?" and the producer's talking to you, and you've got players that are coming and going. There's a lot of moving parts. You can get a little bit lost in traffic, we'll call it. And
you can't say like, "Sorry, I wasn't listening." What's that?
No, a lot of times
I will go on the talk back. Hold on a second, because like Sam Cicerello's a great producer. Like he'll be talking to me like, "What do you think of this?" or whatever. Oh, we've got this, and I'll just say, "Hold on." Because I know Gord is either putting me in a spot to talk or asking me a question, and then we just pick it up. Like that's part of having like a working relationships and trusting the people that are driving the bus, the producers, the directors, and then the play-by-play guy. Like it is, and the hardest part I found, and I have lost my train of thought of it, is if I'm talking live to the camera across and a player starts talking to me. Hey, Noodles, was that a goal? Like, you know, you're like, hold, you put the hand up kind of like, hey, I'm live here. So it happens all the time. It's live TV. But
That's it, right? Live TV, radio, whatever it is. Yeah. Like the mics are on, you got to go. But there are veteran ways to, I think, kind of wiggle out of it.
Yeah.
Like when in doubt, just go, yeah, no, you're right.
Okay. I'm with you.
Okay, I'm with you. That would have worked, too, from Edmonds.
That is it, for sure.
Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I'm on the Dodgers in Colorado tonight with Urias on the mound. On the run line, -1.5, paying -138. I love them big tonight. Under in the White Sox-Angels game, You got Ohtani on the mound for the Angels, and they're going to be a low-scoring game tonight. And I like Alejandro Kirk paying minus 210 to just register a hit tonight. He's so dialed in. I'm on Kirk to register a hit tonight. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. All right, Jonas, you're back in here tomorrow, I believe.
See you guys tomorrow.
All right, Jonas Siegel of The Athletic. We love it. Noodles, you and I, we're out of here as well. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.